Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. The image here that the Lord is using is like you speak of windows as light. You know, you talk about your house, your front door has lights on either side of it, which means it has a window on either side of it. This is the sense in which the Lord is speaking. The light of the body is the eye. So essentially, he's speaking of vision. And what is it? The eye is like a window. This is where the saying comes from. The eye is a window to the soul. So whatever comes in through the eye enters into the soul. And therefore, if your eye looks on pure things, if your eye looks on virtuous things, if your eye looks on righteous things, then those things enter into the soul. And this is what he means when he says if your eye is single, if it is pure, then your whole body is full of light. Your soul is illumined by what enters into it. But he says if your eye is evil, if your eye looks at things that are wicked, that are evil, then that comes into the soul as well. And the whole body is full of darkness. We have this tradition in the Orthodox Church of making the icons of the saints, of Christ, of the Mother, of all of the saints, of the angelic powers. And it's kind of something that we take for granted nowadays, but we take it for granted, or we can take it for granted, because we live in a time when we are inundated with imagery. Think about it. How many images do you see in the course of a day? You get in your car and you drive on the highway. You cannot escape images. There are billboards, there are signs, there are advertisements. You turn on the TV and you've got images coming at you faster than you can even process them. You go on the internet and every page is full of images. Websites are more image than text nowadays because our attention span has gotten so short that we can't read a long text. So we look at the pictures. We're flooded with images. But if you think about times past, go put yourself back in time, not that long ago, 100, 200 years ago, in a village church in Greece or a village church in Russia. And you walk into the church and literally the only images that you're going to see in the course of your life are the ones painted on the walls of the church. So the church, in her care for us, throughout the centuries, has provided for us good and virtuous images for us to look at. Not everybody could read a long time ago. Not everybody can read nowadays, right? But even those who can't read can walk into a church and they can be edified, they can be lifted up. Their soul can receive pure images and they can look on those things. But the Lord says, if your eye is evil, that is, if you direct it to other things that are not pure, that are not holy, then your whole body and your soul, together with it, will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you be darkness, if you change light into darkness inside of you, then it is a great and terrible darkness. And then he goes on to say, no man can serve two masters, because two masters will inevitably give contradictory commands. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a word which indicates every kind of injustice. Theft, robbery, greed, fornication, lust. All of those things fall into the category of mammon. So in other words, you can't serve God and mammon. We can't serve God and injustice. We can't serve God and greed. We can't desire to fill our pockets with gold and ignore the fact that there are people starving around us. There are people in need around us. Why is that? Well, because we might fool ourselves for a little while, think that we're being righteous, think that we're serving God, but inevitably we will come to a point where the two masters give contrary commands. At some point, God will say to us, you need to give the $20 bill in your pocket to that man over there. And our greed will say to us, but I was saving that. I was willing to spend that on this or that. Or I can't afford it right now. Or whatever other thousands of excuses come up. You see, at a certain point, contrary commands are given, and we have to choose which one to believe, which one to obey. So the Lord says, you cannot serve God and injustice. Therefore, he says, I say to you, take no thought for your life. The word in Greek is soul, psyche. Take no thought for your soul, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what shall you put on, what you shall put on. These are extreme words, I would say. I know people that stumble at these words time and time again. I myself stumble at these words time and time again. But the Lord says, take no thought for your soul, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or for your body, what you shall put on, because life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. So what is the challenge here to us? The Lord's not instructing us to quit working. The Apostle Paul says, those who don't work should not be allowed to eat. So the Lord is by no means instructing us, quit your job, don't worry about it, God's going to take care of everything. What he is instructing us to do is to not make all the concerns of this world the focus of our life. Because what is he saying? Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. How many days do we pass where every thought that we have is concerned with the cares of this life? How many days do we spend literally thinking, what am I going to eat for the next meal? How much time do we waste focusing on the cares and the concerns of this world? And what is the Lord saying? Your life is greater than that. Your life is more than that. Your life is more than the food that you eat. Your body is more than the clothes that you wear. And he goes on to give us an example to shame us a little bit. Look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet they are fed by God. And you are better than they are. And he says, look at the lilies of the field, the flowers that wilt. They grow up in one day, then they wilt and they die, and it's like they were never there again, according to the Psalms. They don't grow, they grow, they don't work, they don't spin fancy fabrics. And yet he says, I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Wherefore, he says, if God clothes the grass of the field this way, which is today and tomorrow is burned in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of you by the way? Now, I think it's important that we understand that Christ is not talking about clothing. What is he talking about? What is the proper and appropriate food for a human being? Maybe we should ask the question that way. The Lord says, take no care for the food that you have to eat. God will provide it. What is the proper and appropriate food for a human being to eat? Is it not Holy Communion? Is it not the Lord's own body? That is the proper and appropriate food for human beings. The other stuff that we eat, it maintains our bodies, but so often it's a temptation to us. And if you look at the lives of the righteous, fathers, the righteous mothers, they will limit their intake of food to such a degree that in some cases they even subsist entirely on Holy Communion. I don't say that so you'll try it. It's a highly advanced spiritual state. But the fact of the matter is, there are those among us who realize it and are given the grace to live that. But for us, the proper, it is enough that we realize the proper food of a human being is the Lord's body and blood. What is the proper clothing for a human being? What is it? How should we be clothed? With virtue. The fathers always speak in these terms. To be clothed with virtue. To be robed with the virtues. To be robed with righteousness. Is it not better to be robed with righteousness than it is with fancy and costly apparel? Is it not better to be clothed in chastity, to be clothed in compassion, to be clothed in mercy? Wouldn't it be better for us to walk around in rags if that was the exchange we had to make so that we could be clothed with the grace of God? And again, we have those in our church who have realized this. I just glanced over the icon of St. Mary of Egypt. We know it was also a founder in the desert. She was not clothed in anything. She was utterly naked in the desert, alone. He had to give her his cloak and turn his back so she could wrap herself up in it and speak to him face to face. But Zosimus realized very quickly that even though she was naked physically, she was clothed with every virtue. This is what the Lord means. Take no thought for what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what you will be clothed with. God can provide all of those things. God will give you His body to eat, and He will sustain you through that. God will clothe you with righteousness if seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we prioritize our lives correctly. We don't need to go out in here and throw away all our clothes and quit our job and live in a field. What we need to do is prioritize our lives correctly. We must, as Christians, live first and foremost as followers. The Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Not that you'll always have enough to eat, not that you'll always have the nicest clothes, but if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then you will be worthy to receive Holy Communion, and then you will be clothed. And if we do that, if we live our lives striving to become worthy of the Lord's mysteries, of His body and His blood, if we live our lives striving to be clothed with the virtues, even if we live hungry and in rags, we will become real human beings. We will reflect the radiance of Christ. We will be beacons in this world, showing to the rest of the world which is lost in vanity, that there is something beyond this world which is superior to it in every possible way. So brothers and sisters, I mentioned at the beginning that this is a challenging passage of Scripture. It challenges me every time I read it. But let's not put it away just because it's challenging and hard to understand. And let's not ignore it because it says things that make us uncomfortable. Let us strive to prioritize our lives correctly, to place Christ first, foremost in our lives, to rise up every morning and to turn every thought to Christ first, to say our morning prayers with diligence, with love, with hope that Christ can get us through that day, to say our evening prayers with gratitude to God and repentance, and organize our lives around Christ so that we may, by His grace, make some progress. And by His grace, may become even a little bit worthy of the mysteries. And by His grace, may even become a little bit more virtuous. And by His grace, above all things, enter into His heavenly kingdom. To Christ be all glory, honor, and worship together with His Father and